Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for our kids. Lord, most of all, we ask that they wouldn't just be brought up in the church, but they would be brought up in your love, in your truth, in relationship with you, Lord, that they would know you, that they would love you back, that they would see your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your compassion, your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you love the children. We thank you that all that our families are going through, Lord, all that's happening, Lord, you not only love the children, you love us, and we're in your care. We're in your hands, Lord. Father, heart is heavy right now. Lord, Stephen and Maria, Lord, we pray for them right now as they've lost their little one. Lord, we ask for blessing upon them. We ask for blessing upon Scott and Cindy. Lord, on this whole family, Lord, we ask you to lift them up and encourage them. Lord, we're so grateful that you love your children. Father, even in the confusion, even in the questions and anger and hurt, Lord, you're a loving God. And so, Father, we choose to trust you during this time. Father, we don't understand. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now through your word. Lord, we come, we ask for our hearts to be open to you. Lord, prepare us. Lord, the things we talk about are eternal things because they come from the truth of your word. And so, Lord, I just pray that the weight of and the truth of your word would hit us, would transform us, would renew us. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you are holy and good. Speak to us now, Lord. Humble our spirits. Prepare our minds for your truth. Lord, I just pray anything that comes from me would be set aside, and that the truth of your word would be seen, heard, understood, known, experienced, and lived out. Lord, use this time for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on our third and final week on the Stepping Stones of Faith. And the first week we hit a sitting down in faith. And it was the theme verse was Ephesians 2:6, which said, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." We talked about how no Christian can enter the spiritual battle without first learning to rest in what Christ has done and who Christ is. And finding our identity in who he is and what he's done. And then last week we looked at walking in faith, and it was from Ephesians 1 was the theme scripture, and I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The second part there was through the strength of the Holy Spirit in us, how do we follow him in practical ways? How do we follow him in living here and now? If we aren't living with these first two, as we come to today's, it's almost impossible. We'll find out that without those first two, all the talk about standing and in faith and the spiritual warfare, it's going to remain just talk. That's all it'll be. But today we're looking at standing in faith. Standing in faith, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. As the we are not just given a position in sitting and resting in Him and walking out our faith in every day. We have a battle that we're fighting. And we're called to stand. As we come to this time, every single Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. But I want to ask this. Why was Jesus born? Why was He born? To die for our sins. He had a purpose, didn't He? He had a purpose. He came for a reason. He came to make a way where there was no way. And in John 18, it gives us a little bit further revelation into the area that we're talking about today. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Pilate, the leader of the day, replied, "What is truth?" You see, the world doesn't know what truth is. Apart from the work of God in our minds and hearts, apart from His leading us, apart from what He's done, we can't know what the truth is. It's His truth, and He reveals it to us. He does it through His word, generally, and He does it individually as He shares with us and as He calls us, as He seeks us out. What does it mean to testify to the truth? If He came to testify to the truth, that sounds pretty important. First of all, there is truth. There is a truth, and He came to testify to that, that He is the Son of God, that He is the one who makes a way for us to deal with the sin in our lives, where He is to be glorified, where He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Who Jesus is, who we are in Him, and what we're called to do in His name is revealed to us. So let me ask you this. With all the, there's been a lot of people that I've been talking to this week. It's been a hard week for a lot of people. There's a lot of people who are really hurting right now. And it's hard. I got to tell you honestly, it's hard to be up here in some ways and share the good news of Jesus when my spirit is hurt and when people I love are struggling. And yet, in God's economy, we can do just that. In God's way of bringing us through the things of this world that are difficult, we can have peace and joy and hope in Him in the midst of the struggle. We can be in the hurricane, we can be in the eye of the storm. But do you ever feel discouraged in your walk? Do you ever feel discouraged in everyday life? Absolutely, we all do. And it's hard. And as we come to today, I really want to ask us, Ephesians 6 really deals with, remember, 1 through 3 was resting in Christ, in our position in Christ. And 4, chapters 4 and 5 were in walking in our faith, walking out that faith, experiencing it, living it out daily where the rubber meets the road. And today, I want to look at standing. Standing, and we stand what? We stand because what does it mean to stand here? As it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Guys, the word there for stand is what? It means to hold your ground. It means to hold your ground. We must be prepared for conflict. Conflict is coming. In this life, we've got the love of God. We've also got an enemy. We've also got the weight of this world and the junk. And so the flesh is also a challenge, isn't it? It's weak. And so there is this spiritual battle that goes on daily. And we're called to stand, to hold our ground. We're not commanded. Here's, guys, this is so important. This was a revelation for me. And it gives a lot of peace. We are not called or commanded to take new territory. If you hear nothing else, hear that. We are not commanded to take new territory in this spiritual battle. We're called to stand, to hold the ground that Christ has already gained for us. So we stand on what he has done, what he's already done, and we hold the ground. We're in the kingdom of God if we've come to Jesus Christ by faith, if we know our Lord and Savior, and if we're one with him. And now what we're called to do is stand the ground of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ has already, it is finished, it is won. Christ has already won it. The ground Christ won has already been given to us by faith, through grace. Our goal is holding, not attacking. That's beautiful news. And he's given us weapons for this. And I want to look at just a moment, just a little bit. Sometimes when you go through the scripture, you can get a little lost on all the specifics physically of the pieces of armor. But I want to notice something as a whole. And that is the majority of these pieces are defensive. Why? Because we're called to hold ground. We're called to keep the ground that Christ has won. And so let's look at these defensive pieces of armor. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day, when, not if, so that when the day of evil comes, and it's coming, and it comes, and it comes again, and again, and again, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand and hold the ground of Christ. Hold the ground that God has won for his kingdom. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Guys, think about that. We stand in God's truth and it holds everything together. The belt holds everything in its place, holds everything together. And we stand in that truth. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate protects what? Vital organs, the heart, the things that keep life. If we lose a limb, we can keep going. That's exactly what I was thinking of too. I was just praying, God, do I mention Monty Python here or not? We can lose a limb and keep going. If you don't know, don't worry about it. But we've got the breastplate of righteousness guarding what's important. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're constantly ready and on the move and ready to go with the gospel of peace. It's what we move forward with. If we don't have our feet protected, it's hard to do. Have you ever, sometimes I try and take out the garbage without putting my shoes on, and we've got smooth cement going 2/3 of the way out to the garbage can. And then the last third is this really bumpy, painful, and I'll go out and I'm just, and as soon as I, and then it's like, and so over and over, my neighbors have seen me, ow, hi neighbor, how you doing? I'm not fully crazy, I promise, but yeah, having the right stuff on your feet, man, we're prepared for battle. We're prepared for what's going to come. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, the shield of faith, which stops all the arrows. And these shields were large shields. and they were covered with leather and dipped in water, so that as the arrows came, they would stick in the wood underneath the leather and be put out by the water. And they would also connect to the shields around them, one on each side. And it was a wall of shields moving forward. This is the kind of shield that's talked about here. The shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How many of the arrows? He keeps shooting, but we keep having a shield to take all of the arrows. And take the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? The mind. The head. You lose your head, it's going to be a long week. Or a short week, actually. Man, so important. At the very attack, at every attack, defensive armor is provided. We're given this defensive armor to keep the ground that God has already won. When we fight to get the victory, we've already lost the battle. Guys, we never fight to get the victory. We're holding, not attacking. When we're trying to do the work in our own strength, when we're trying to achieve it, we're missing the truth and the power of God. We're putting everything on our own. Have you ever been in the battle and been exhausted? And God, why am I working hard here? Why is all this happening? Why am I so exhausted? Well, we're in our own strength. Of course we're exhausted. Of course we're broken down. We're carrying the load we were never meant to carry. Guys, living in our own strength is exhausting. I've done it too many times. I've been beaten down so many times in my faith. And God brings this truth to mind of, Matthew, humble yourself. You're trying to do what I've already done. Slow down. Stop doing the work that you can't do. Stop trying to lift a billion trillion pounds. It's too much weight. You weren't meant to carry it. When we struggle, we pray, we fast, we resist, but nothing happens. Why? Because we're trying to fight into victory. We're trying to fight in our own strength. And in doing so, we give the enemy the very ground that is ours. Guys, we don't need to live like that. In this example, victory is still distant. It's still what's to come. It's still ahead of us, and we can't reach it. And that's why at times in our walks, it seems so unbearable. It seems like we've got nowhere to go. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Guys, think about that. We're more than conquerors, but not in our own strength. We're more than conquerors through him who loves us. It's a beautiful thing. We don't stand on our own strength. We don't love with our own love. We give away what we've received from Christ. We're able to love others even if it's hard, even if they don't want it. If only we will maintain his victory. That's a key. Instead of us trying to gain the victory. So the question comes to me with this is, why would we do it in our own strength? And I think for me at least, it comes down to this. Who do you trust? I mean, it's really simple, isn't it? I got this. I can do this. Often we don't want to annoy God or be a burden to him or keep, we feel bad because we're coming back. It's me again. Hey, how you doing? It's been about 3 minutes. And we feel bad. Or the flip side, right? And I struggle in both of these. The flip side is, I got this. I don't need you for this. Or I'm going to get this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure out a way and get it right. And as soon as I get it right, I'm coming back with you. But you know what? Let me just... Arrogance and pride. Guys, it comes down to a matter of faith in him. Who do you trust? Who do we trust? Who's more trustworthy, God or us? Man, it's simple when we think of it, right? When we talk about it in relation to the Word of God. How difficult is this to live out in the heat of the moment as the challenge comes? And so what do we need to have when that challenge comes? We need to be what? We need to have these pieces of armor for battle. We need to be prepared and ready for the attack. If we believe Jesus, guys, this is so important. And don't lose me on my first part of the statement. Let me get to the second start before you walk out. We need to pray less. What in the world does Pastor mean by praying less? We need to pray less and praise more. We need to come in prayer, not with, but with an understanding of what he's done. And we need to come in praise. God, thank you that you are my God through this, knowing that Christ has already finished his work. And as we pray, more and more of our prayer is in praise of who he is. More and more of our prayer is in a thankful heart that he's accomplished these things already. And that we're not called to get new ground. That we don't have to try harder. Guys, I know many of you have been in those places where you can't try any harder. And you're more broken than ever at that point. And we need to come to that place of being broken before God and saying, I can't do this, God. I need you to do this for me. I got nowhere else to go. And that's when he says, my child, come in. Rest in me. Find your rest in me. And once you get whole and healed and find your rest in me, we'll start walking slowly. And you'll be prepared to stand in the battle against the enemy. What God's word says about prayer and action in Jesus' name. You know, the name of Jesus is a powerful name. We're celebrating the name of Jesus today, next week. We're celebrating his birth. Jesus is a powerful name, not just in general, but Jesus himself. And in his name, there's power. What do I mean by that? Let's turn to Matthew 18, starting in verse 18. 18 through 20. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in whose name? In my name. In the name of Jesus, there am I with them. What's in a name? Power is in a name. Truth is in a name. Love is in a name. John 16, 23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. And ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. There's power when we ask in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Guys, here it is. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. And there's power in that name. Power in the name of Jesus, of what he's done, of what he's accomplished. No one can be saved without the work and the knowing that Jesus Christ. Without his work on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, and here's where some power comes, ascension. He ascended. He finished the work here, and he's gone to prepare a place, and he is what? He's praying for us. He's established, and his work is finished. It's accomplished, and we are his. Guys, we can't even be effectively used. Hear this. We can't be effectively used working in our own strength. Now, we can do things that help people here and now. But to have that eternal weight, that eternal value, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We serve others, not just to try and make things better for some people, not trying to just help people or make things a little bit nicer. We serve in the name of Jesus Christ so that it has what? Eternal weight to it. Something that goes beyond the situation. Because if I help a brother or sister out now, guess what? They're going to have a need in about 3-4 hours. If it's a meal, they're going to need another meal. If it's with some clothes, those clothes will rot. But what if we give something in the name of Christ and it has eternal value and it blesses for all eternity because we've loved them in the name of Christ? So this all comes to the last part of Ephesians, which we're going through, and that's this. Ephesians 6, starting in 17b. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Guys, these two things, the sword of the Spirit and prayer, these are the two pieces that we have that can be defensive and offensive. And so, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I feel God's asking me to share this. I'd planned on cutting it, but Moses, was he known as a great speaker? I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, he may have even had a stuttering thing. But you look at a guy who, when he spoke, people followed. When he did things, people followed his lead. And one of the reasons that we think that he may have been had trouble speaking was because he said himself, I'm having trouble. I'm not very good at speaking. I think what he realized, I think the weight of what that scripture is about is not about a speaking impediment. But he realized, when I speak in my strength, it's so limited. It's so limited. But when the power of God speaks through me, wow, God moves mountains. God moves mountains because it's his word and his work going through me. I have nothing worth sharing on my own. How many times do guys, Sunday after Sunday, I gotta be honest, I come up here. Some weeks it's because of my own sin, my own selfishness that I've struggled with a week and I've got to stand before you. Other times it's because of areas where I'm feeling inadequate and God reminds me week after week, Matthew, you don't stand in your own strength. You don't share the gospel from you. You share the gospel from my Holy Spirit. Get out of the way, son. Let me do my work. I love you. Let me bless you. Let me bless your words. So how can we pray in his name? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? What does that even look like? First of all, I don't say, God, man, I know I've got a great Toyota Corolla. Gets great gas mileage. But I like the Audi. Especially the new Audi. Have you seen the 2017? Oh my goodness, it's nice. I'm not really a car guy much, but boy, you know it. We don't, it's not praying for what we want. And it goes beyond praying for what we think we need. How can we pray in his name? Number one, if I want to pray and have my prayers, first of all, if God's power is what changes, then maybe my prayers need to have God's revelation in them. God's truth, God's revelation, his purpose to our hearts. So now I'm not praying out what I want. I'm seeking God. I'm praying to be filled with his truth and love and to be able to speak and share what comes from him. God's revelation. And I know that if I speak out God's revelation and truth, his will be done, not my will. Guys, there's times where I've prayed for somebody for healing and they've been healed. There's times, many more, so many more, when I've prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't. That's a lot of weight to carry if I think it's about my prayer. That's a lot of... Try being a pastor and carrying that weight. People look at you a little different, like your prayers are supposed to be a little bit heavier, a little bit closer to the big guys. So, man, let's get the pastor to pray for us. That's going to have some weight. Oh, guys, don't put that pressure on me. I can't carry it just like you can't. This is the positional role that I'm in. We're the same in our walk. We're the exact same. I have a position called by God for me to fulfill. But in our walks, we're the same. So first of all, God's revelation of his purpose is what's needed to pray in his name. The second one, it must be conceived. Not only the revelation of his purpose, but it must be conceived of by God. It's not me saying, okay, God, this fits with your word. And so I really want to do this and I want to ask you to bless it. So can you just take, this is a good thing I want to do, but is it the thing that God wants you to do? Because we can do a lot of good things that God is saying, you missed the mark. You missed it. Good is not what God wants. What's best? What is best? And it's only best if it's conceived by God. God's name can never be rubber stamped, guys. Oh, okay, here it is. Boom. Don't. God wants to heal. Okay, I'll pray for you. Be healed. Don't. God came that all would know him. I'll just pray for salvation. Boom. The rubber stamp. That's my sound effect for rubber stamping, I guess. I hadn't planned that sound, but... Can we edit that out of maybe a ka-chish or something a little better? Guys, it's conceived by God. If God doesn't move, we dare not move. If God doesn't come up with it and lead us, we dare not go outside of that. Because otherwise we're going on to our own strength and we're trying to take new territory in our own strength rather than holding the ground that we've been called to hold in Christ. So all work to be effective. This is the third one. All work to be effective must continually depend on the power of God alone. See, so often I get in the way of what God is doing because I'm trying to do it. That shows itself in a couple ways. Number one is glory. If I receive the glory, I've missed it. And it's in my power. Guys, hear this. This is so key. If we do things to be noticed, if we have the heart of the Pharisee, and remember, the heart of the Pharisee goes to the high places where he can be seen. How you doing? I'm very spiritual, you know. I'm the pastor here. Let us pray. Right? Right? What does it say about the heart of the Pharisee? Man, it's empty, isn't it? The heart of the Pharisee says, notice me. God, thank you for making me better than that poor slob over there. The heart of the repentant person says, God, forgive me. I come empty-handed. And I receive what you give. I got nothing to earn it. And God says, my child, welcome. I hear you. Let's move forward together. Come in my and rest in me. Rest in me. And let's walk together. And when the challenges come, you will be able to stand not in your own strength, but in my strength, in who I am. Guys, rest is beautiful. And in these three, Ephesians is this beautiful picture of what it means to have faith. Resting in our position in Christ as children of the Most High God. Of walking out our faith in everyday situations in His love and His strength. And the last, standing against the enemy, not in our own sake. Not trying to take new ground. Not trying to accomplish what's already been done for us. It's a beautiful thing, guys. All work to be effective must be continually dependent on the power of God alone. We can't accomplish anything in our own strength, in our own power. And guys, when we give this, why do we try and do it? Often we feel unworthy. Often we like to receive praise. It feels really good to be nice, doesn't it? I mean, it does. Because what happens when you do something that's nice? Well, he's a nice guy. That guy's a nice guy. Have you seen it? He's a nice guy. He'll help you out. And then what happens? People start to become dependent on your niceness. Dependent on your nice. And guess what? I'm nice when I want to be nice. But I'm also very selfish. All of us are. And when I'm going on my own strength to be nice, come at me in the wrong way, and all of a sudden my nice turns into what? You know, I just heard on the radio a couple days ago about this woman who committed this road rage, violent act. And I didn't hear in the news, they didn't say, I had to get out of the car before they finished. And I didn't hear whether they had killed a person or hurt a person. But it was after the car chased them and hurt them. And what they said, what I did hear was this. She's not that kind of a person. They kept interviewing people that she knew. This is the last person you would think who would do something like this. Road rage, right? And some of the nicest people you know, when they get behind a car and somebody is right on their tail and honky, become beasts. And guys, when we're in our own strength, we don't have to be in a car and it doesn't have to be road rage. It can just be rage. Just be anger. Just be selfishness. False pride. Doesn't take much, does it? We can't accomplish anything in our own power. But guys, we're never called to. We're never called to accomplish anything in our own strength and power. And the reason we're not called to do it is we can't. God doesn't call us to do anything that we can't do. But He has called us to come to Him. rest in sitting in our position in Christ, to walk forward in His love and authority and power in our lives, and to stand against the enemy in a way that things that seem impossible, situations that are wrong, you know, God has a different way of working through things. I want to end with this. Ravi Zacharias' picture of the tapestry. And from man's view, we see the tapestry from underneath. And it's all these strings hanging down, and it's messy, and it's ugly. Sometimes in life, we see this tapestry of life, and we think, how can a loving God allow all this junk to happen? And some people who are wonderful believers and love Jesus, it seems like just more and more things are dumped on them. And you wonder, God, what are you thinking, really? And yet, from God's perspective, the tapestry is beautiful. All the work, all the things that we see, from God's perspective, it's all woven together. What if my suffering brings blessing that is eternal? Praise God. Guys, if my faith is truly in Christ and His finished work, then if I suffer, if others suffer, and it brings blessing for Christ's eternal work, praise God. All of a sudden, how we live our lives changes, how we view things. I don't understand, God. We're not necessarily called to understand. We're called to trust. And we come to those places of brokenness, and that's where He meets us, and we find rest in His strength, in His power, in His authority, in what He's done. And we don't have to fix everything because we can't. I don't know about ladies, but guys love fixing things. We love to fix it. Julie tells me something about something that's going on. I often don't make myself available, hear her heart, and love her. I turn around to her and state the obvious right back to her. Well, this is how you fix it. Well, she knew that. She wanted to share the journey. We can't fix it. We can't. But Christ already finished the work. It is finished. And we can stand against everything that comes at us, because we're not trying to gain any new ground. We're only holding what Christ has done, and He's given us the armor. And in those areas where we're to battle, He's given us His armor for that. And we do nothing in our own power and strength. Nothing in our own strength and power. And guys, that's good news. Let's close in prayer. Father, just thank You for the book of Ephesians, for the truth of Your word. Lord, I ask that You would just do a mighty work, Lord, in our lives. Lord, starting with me, each one of us needs to come to You individually. Each one of us needs to come and repent and humble ourselves before You. Lord, we pray that You would do some special things, that we would have less of us and more of You. Lord, we thank You that You have equipped us for the battle. And You've equipped us for the battle that You've already won. So, Father, as we stand the ground that You've gained for us, may we stand in Your power and strength and wisdom. Father, thank You that You forgive us, because we need a lot of forgiveness. Thank You that in faith we can come to You forgiven, because You died for our sins. Lord, I pray that You would... Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has known about You, has heard, maybe even believes in You, but Lord, doesn't know You personally, Lord, I just pray that there would be a humbling of spirit, that You would be seen for who You are and received, Your love and blessing would be received. And for Lord, for all of us who know you, Lord, just because we know you doesn't mean it's easy. We're still in a broken world. This side of your coming back, it's not perfect yet. And we long for something more because this world is not our home. So Lord, may we move forward in your love and strength and power, resting in you, setting out to walk out our faith in everyday life in your strength and love, and standing in who you are in your name against the enemy and your finished work of the cross, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, because it is finished. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.